Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This official football station, 560 WQAM Miami, 96.5 WPOW HD2 Miami, online at WQAM.com, and on your mobile with the TuneIn app. From the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios. Edmore's is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County. This is the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is! The 7 o'clock hour, my friends, of the Alex Dono Show. We're with you until 10 o'clock here tonight. On a football Friday, a Dolphins Friday, on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Also streaming on the internet, WQAM.com, or on your smartphone, the TuneIn Radio app. Yeah, they're debating and ranting and raving about Kevin Durant's strange summer on ESPN right now. I still can't understand why a guy who should be on top of the world, like this should be the happiest Kevin Durant has been in his entire life. Finals MVP. Gets that championship, in theory, shut up all the critics, at least the ones who matter, right? Because the analysts, the basketball people, anybody who matters, fellow players, anybody who matters now respects Kevin Durant. The only people that still have an issue with him are Oklahoma City fans and just general trolls, and those people should not matter because everyone has trolls. I've got trolls. Tito has trolls. We all got trolls. The trolls shouldn't really matter, yet KD still can't get over some of this stuff. And also I see that the Golden State Warriors, they plan to meet as a team to discuss whether or not they will be attending the White House to celebrate their NBA championship. I say go. It should be about the event itself, not about the guy who holds the office, right? It should be just about keeping the tradition going of visiting the White House. It shouldn't be any way complicitly supporting the guy who sits in that office. If anything, the White House visit should end because Trump should put a stop to it, because it's got to be embarrassing for him when you invite the New England Patriots and like eight guys show up. Anytime a team shows up, half the players are missing because they don't want to be there. If I were in Mr. Trump's shoes, and thank God I'm not, I would be the one to call that off. I wouldn't want the humiliation of the White House visits gone awry. But I still think it should be more about the actual event and not about the person who holds that office. But that's just me. I'm a traditionalist in some ways. In that way, I guess. Let's talk to Frank and Kendall. You're on WQAM. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Alex. How you doing today, buddy?
Doing very well, my friend. How are you?
Okay. Did you survive okay?
I did. I'm good, man. Very, very minimal damage. A little bit of my picket fence went down, but that's nothing that cannot be fixed.
My whole fence went down, but I have these two palm trees that survived Andrew, that survived Katrina, Wilma, Rita, but for some reason, during Irma, these two big, huge, I mean, these aren't just small, these are big palm trees. They both destroyed my back fence.
Yeah, my parents had a palm tree like the size of a redwood, and that thing came down. Thank God it didn't come down on anything important.
Yeah,
it just came down on the driveway.
Yeah, I'm glad it just came down the fence and not in the house. I mean, that's all I'm hearing is about fence and trees. No real building damage, which is good. I want to talk about the Hurricanes. I think that we will win. I'm thinking maybe three touchdowns, which is pretty feasible. But do you remember 2 weeks ago, this NBA beat writer for the Memphis Grizzlies bashed Mark Richt and Hurricanes for
No, I don't remember that. Well, what did that ass clown say?
Twitter. I bashed the guy back, and he was like, oh, Canes are cowards. Because remember, they just lost 38-45 to Nebraska, which turns out to be Nebraska's a nobody this year, you know, right?
Yeah, Nebraska sucks. And if I were Arkansas State, I would be thrilled that I don't have to play Miami because they have the memory of almost sending Nebraska to overtime. It turns out Nebraska is not any good. That program is in disarray right now. I would be thanking God every night that we don't have to play Miami.
Look it up. Go on Twitter. Look up Mark Richt's Twitter account. You can see this guy bashed Mark Richt for canceling. He goes, oh, the Canes are cowards. We barely lost to Nebraska. Miami would have been killed by them. I'm like, oh, my God. And he's an NBA beat writer, aren't they? Aren't beat writers supposed to be neutral?
He should stay in his lane is what he should do.
And he's an NBA beat writer for the Memphis Grizzlies. He's not even in the right sport.
I can tell you're very angry about this. I appreciate the call, Frank and Kendall. So actually playing a game tomorrow, that's going to be therapy for the Frank and Kendalls of the world. Because this is the problem. When you go 3 weeks without playing a game, you start to complain about Memphis Grizzlies beat writers who don't respect Hurricanes football. Like, that's what happens when you go 3 weeks without playing a game. Yeah, I just hope that that the Canes this week, I think, you know, honestly, I think a change of scenery, having those practices in Orlando was probably good for them because they were able to, you know, get away from the home lives. And if they had any worries, obviously they were here through the storm. So they got to help out their parents, siblings. Some of them have young children. So it was important for them to be with their families during Hurricane Irma. But, you know, once the damage had been repaired and they were ready to move on and focus on football again, it was probably good to get that change of scenery to kind of have that second training camp, that second fall camp, and go up to Orlando to prepare for a week. Because if their minds were elsewhere, hopefully, you know, being at a team hotel and putting that focus on the preparations for Toledo, it kind of put them back in that football mindset. And don't forget, these guys went a full 10 days without practicing. And 10 days, when you are a high-level collegiate athlete, your conditioning can be affected by 10 days. Like somebody like me, if I go 10 days without jogging, doesn't make a whole lot of difference in my life. But for the Shaquille Quartermans of the world and the Amon Richards of the world, who, you know, and he's got a hamstring issue he's trying to come back and get healthy from, going 10 days without practicing can have an effect on some of these guys. So I know that Mark Richt did say he was pleased by the conditioning of his players, that they weren't as affected by the 10-day layoff as he thought they would be. But you still got to factor in that they may get off to a little bit of a slow start this week because it will have been 3 weeks since they played a game that counted. And the game they played was against a far inferior level opponent, inferior level of athlete in the Bethune-Cookman Wildcats. So this is going to be the first step towards playing big league football. I know it's a MAC opponent. You're not talking about one of these ACC rivals. It's not an SEC team. But that defense that didn't look sharp 3 weeks ago, Manny Diaz discussed it. We need to be in midseason form. We played poorly against Bethune-Cookman. They allowed some long, sustained drives. They gave up 13 points. They allowed that quarterback, Larry Brim III, to actually complete a 49-yard pass in that game, which you never see in a Miami Bethune-Cookman game. What I want to see this week is the formidable pass rush. They were very conservative with the blitzes last week. Really nothing, or 3 weeks ago, really nothing to speak of. I think we will see some sacks this week. I think we will see finally Chad Thomas get loose and Joe Jackson get loose, and we'll probably see at least one of those sophomore linebackers make a big play on the quarterback this week. But they are facing a quarterback who can pick you apart if he has time. Right, I think the factor here, because somebody was asking me on the plumbers911.com text line at 56022 if it's safe to take the over in this game. I think the over under is 61, if I'm not mistaken. He said that sounds like easy money. I'm never sure about that because on paper, yeah, Toledo's defense, awful. So Miami should be able to put up points in the 40s, if not 50s, because Tulsa put up 51 against Toledo. So Miami should be able to put up points in the 40s and 50s. But if they slow the pace of the game down with the running game, because that's one of the X factors here. There are two factors to me that could lead to this game going under. And this is why I'm not a gambler, because I think of too many of these scenarios. It ruins my mindset. I can never be sure about anything. But there are two factors that could take the over away from that betting line. And that is the fact that I know Miami is going to want to establish ground control, eat clock, run the football, because they want to keep that quarterback off the field. Best way to defend Logan Woodside, who threw for 458 yards and six touchdowns last week, best way to do that is to keep him off the field. And Toledo's defense, which is not good, is especially bad against the run. So I think you were going to have a steady, steady diet of Mark Walton running the football. You're going to take time off the clock. So that may cause Miami not to score in the high 40s, low 50s. And then on the other side of that, okay, Toledo is scoring a ton of points, putting up a ton of yards. And Woodside threw 45 touchdowns last season, six touchdowns last week. So you would think they're going to score a lot of points, right? They rank, Tito just told me in my ear, Toledo ranks 116th in rushing deep. I didn't know there were that many teams. I thought there were 112 teams. They rank 116th in rushing defense. Another reason why the Canes will pound the football and take precious time off the clock, because the best way to defend Toledo is to keep their quarterback off the field. But when their quarterback is on the field, he's never faced a defense like Miami. Miami is not a MAC defense. So yeah, when this guy has time to throw, he can bludgeon your defense. When Logan Woodside has time to throw, he's pinpoint finding the open receivers down the field. Points, yardage, touchdowns, it makes your head spin. But I think Miami is going to make his life a living you-know-what this weekend. It's not to say Toledo won't score some points. If they score in the 20s, it wouldn't surprise me, right? But don't feel like that bet on the over is that safe, because I know Miami wants to pound the football, which takes time off the clock. And I know that Logan Woodside has never faced a defense with Miami caliber athletes on it. So he may not be able to throw for six touchdowns the way that he did against Tulsa last week. So it's going to be an interesting football game. Wow, the FIU troll says, I have $500 on FIU winning and $500 on UM losing. Easy money. Well, I'm guessing you have $500 on Toledo beating the spread. Hurricanes are favored by 13.5 this week. I got suckered into a bet. Peer pressure has always been my downfall. I've always been a sucker for peer pressure. And when I was talking to my Canes pregame partner, UM Sports Hall of Famer KC Jones last night, he convinced me to do another wager for my dignity. I've got to wear the kilt again. The same kilt that I had to wear to the FSU Miami pregame last year. Scottish, plaid, checkered kilt. I look like a buffoon. There are some men who look very good in kilts, right? You got those great fireman type bodies, the great legs, high socks, shaved legs. Some men look great in the kilt. I am not one of those men. I had to wear the kilt last year, and we put my dignity on the line again this year. Casey Jones talked me into giving Toledo 23.5 points. So Miami is favored by 13.5. That's the real number. That's the Vegas number. In my eyes, the Hurricanes have to win by at least 24 points for me to avoid wearing the kilt. So if Toledo is able to keep the game within 24 points, Miami's got to win by three touchdowns and a field goal. Otherwise, I've got to wear the kilt to an upcoming pregame show. It doesn't look very good on me. And Casey also said that that I have to wear like a goofy-looking hat that he's going to choose with the kilt. I got to wear the high socks, the kilt, and some kind of a ridiculous-looking hat. So needless to say, I'm rooting for the Canes. I'm not only rooting for the Canes to win, I'm rooting for the Canes to win big. So if Miami's up by 23 points and you see me freaking out on social media tomorrow, it's going to be because I need one more point for me to cover. I need one more point for that to happen. Let's talk to Brian. You're on WQAM. What's up, Brian?
What's going on, Alex?
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Doing good. Let me just say, for a second, I wouldn't actually mind seeing you be looking good in a kilt. I mean, I really do not want to see those hairy-ass legs off in a picture. And if it actually does happen, I mean, really, man. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't terrible. That Scottish accent you did there, I'm not going to say it was good, but it wasn't terrible, and that is something to be proud of.
Okay. All right, I'll just hang over there and just whatever, and just forget about what I was going
to
ask you.
Well, it was nice talking to you then. You tried to ambush me. That sounded more Irish than Scottish, I think. I don't know. I can't do a Scottish accent either. I can do Russian, I can do a little bit of Irish, maybe Australian. One time I tested my Australian chops with Amelia from Traffic, and she said I did an okay job. That was not great, that Scottish accent. We will talk some Canes on the other side. Man, nobody better to break this down than Matt Porter. Matt Porter has been watching the film. He's been crunching the numbers. Matty Ports was with the team in Orlando this week, so he was there for the media availability. He was there for the practices. Matt Porter covers the Miami Hurricanes for the Palm Beach Post. He's going to join us next here on Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
On the Alex Dono Show, Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM. Been a minute. Finally, the Hurricanes are playing again this weekend. 3 weeks between games, man. I've been jonesing for some Hurricane football. So we go out now to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Matt Porter covers Miami Hurricanes for the Palm Beach Post, joins us. So, Matt, how have these last few weeks treated you? Everything all right after Irma? What's it been like so long without football?
Yeah, I think probably like I'm probably no different than a lot of the fans or the players. I mean, I've been dealing with some, you know, personal stuff, cleaning up, putting everything back together after the storm. Luckily, our building was okay, and you know, everybody that you know in our neighborhood, you know, aside from some trees down and stuff like that, we did all right. Everybody's thinking of you know, those who were damaged, you know, whose property was damaged, their lives were damaged in the storm. Certainly, you know, I'd say South Florida got lucky, obviously. Not everybody was as lucky, but, you know, I think now as we turn focus back to football, I mean, everybody's kind of in a weird spot. I mean, Miami hasn't played a game, you know, in quite some time. And those who are just so used to fall Saturdays, you know, being filled with Hurricanes football and college football, it's certainly been a quiet couple weeks, but I would expect it to be back in full force tomorrow.
So, you know, you mentioned the focus being back on football. Is that the sense you've gotten from players and coaches this week? Have they been able to put the long layoff, put Hurricane Irma recovery and all of those distractions behind them to really focus on a game this week?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that was what the coaches wanted to do. I mean, they, you know, after everybody was marked safe and, you know, everybody's family was okay, you know, they started the work of kind of getting back into condition. And, you know, there was some work involved there. They were off for 10 days and, you know, some players, you know, kind of weren't doing anything for a couple of days. And is that like a, you know, a complete blow to the season? No, definitely not. But, you know, players might lose a step or two, get a little bit of rust where, you know, they weren't, you know, having any trouble in that area before. You know, you expect a team on September 23rd, you know, at this point in the season to be kind of humming along and you know, growing from its mistakes that it's making on Saturdays and such. Miami hasn't really had that luxury. So they got a lot of work to do, and they know that. And that was kind of one of the things that helped them, you know, I think, focus again on football, is they know that they really had to give everything that they have up in those practices in Orlando to really get back into game shape. And I think, you know, they were maybe a little bit worried early in the week. I'm talking about the coaches, about the, you know, the conditioning and all that stuff and how they were going to look. I think they, you know, maybe they might kind of be a little bit behind in the first half, maybe against Toledo, especially with how powerful Toledo's offense is. I know we'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, I think that they're going to be okay, you know, certainly by the end of the game. And I would imagine at this point in the week, they're feeling pretty good about their legs.
Yeah, no question. And before we get into Logan Woodside and that Toledo offense, let me start setting the table for that with Miami's defense. You know, I heard Manny Diaz pretty critical this week, saying that, hey, we didn't perform well defensively in the Bethune-Cookman game. I'm curious, Matt, as to your take on that. I know Bethune-Cookman feels like a long time ago, but it's the only film we have to go on. And, you know, I thought, yeah, maybe the defense looked a little
a little lackadaisical, but I also thought that that the game that Manny Diaz called was extremely buttoned up because I don't think he wanted to put any exotic blitzes on film.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a case of really Manny Diaz and Miami's defensive coaches and of course, Mark Richt, too, setting a really, really high standard for this defense. And that's kind of the way I tried to frame those comments in the writing that I did this week is, you know, they expect a lot out of this defense. And you know, allowing 13 points to Bethune-Cookman and allowing some long drives to Bethune-Cookman, really not a very good third down, you know, mark and two fourth down conversions. You know, you saw some players kind of give up some plays that you weren't really expecting, you know, defensive players allowing catches and, you know, breaking contain and things like that. You really didn't expect that. And you know, was that the most aggressive defense Miami's going to play all season? Absolutely not. The game plan, I think, was, you know, I don't want to call it vanilla, but certainly, you know, they weren't taking the risks and, you know, presenting the kind of, you know, fronts that they usually would against a different opponent. I think they were trying not to show too much. You know, kind of a low-key advantage for Miami at this point is that they haven't really showed too much. So, you know, and obviously that goes for Florida State, too, if we're looking down the schedule.
Right.
But, yeah, I think that that's just a case of a high standard not being met.
And, of course, there will be a high standard on the defense this week as they go up against a pretty high-powered offense. I mean, Logan Woodside, who threw for 45 touchdown passes last year, leading the country with Toledo, is really up to his old tricks. Again, just last week, Matt, 6 touchdown passes, 458 yards against Tulsa. Like, there's no question this offense can score. What do you see in Toledo?
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm really interested. You know, and Logan Woodside is good. He's a pro prospect. I'm certainly not knocking him at all. You know, he is what a good quarterback should be, which is he adjusts to what the defense throws at him, and he tries, if he has time, he'll pick them apart. He'll get the ball out quickly if he needs to. He can get it down the field. You know, as they say, he can make all the throws. What I'm really interested to see here is how does he perform against a really good front seven and a really good defense overall. This might be the best defense he's ever faced in college. And depending on who Toledo, you know, if Toledo makes a bowl, and I'm assuming they will, you know, they're considered the favorite in the MAC, you know, depending on who they play in a bowl game, this might be the best defense Logan Woodside faces all year. And, you know, depending on how Miami, you know, looks, I mean, this is the defense we expect to be very good and, you know, the ACC's best. When you look at the teams that Toledo's played in the past few years, the teams that Logan Woodside has faced, he redshirted in 2015, so he didn't face a couple Power 5 schools. He's played Missouri, he's played Iowa State in 2014 as a sophomore. Last year he faced Western Michigan, which was ranked 12th. So I crunched a few numbers. I looked at how he did against those two Power 5 teams and that ranked team. You know, obviously Miami is ranked 14th, so you know maybe we can see some parallels here. Woodside, his numbers drop. I mean, his passer rating is about 130. Against everybody else, it's about a 170. Against the good teams, he's completing about 58% of his passes. Against the good teams, he's 66%. So, you know, yards per attempt are down by 3 yards against the good teams. So, curious to see, and I know a lot of NFL scouts and GMs are curious to see if he can produce against a really good team. Now, obviously, you know, it's not all the quarterback, and, you know, good teams are going to clamp down on Logan Woodside's receivers as well. They're going to, you know, get a better pass rush against Logan Woodside's offensive line. But certainly when Woodside is the best player on the team and one of the best players, if not the best player in his conference, you know, there is a lot of responsibility on his shoulders. So he certainly needs to be at his best for Toledo to have a chance to win on the road against Miami.
That was a great breakdown here. Matt Porter covers the Miami Hurricanes for the Palm Beach Post. He joins us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. And for the Hurricanes offensively, Matt, should we expect Amon Richards to be a go this week? I know that it's been it's being held close to the vest, I should say, his status with that hamstring.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, honestly. I think, you know, it's partly that they're being cautious with him, but it's also partly that, you know, he did have a fairly significant hamstring strain from everything I understand. You know, I'm not a doctor and I certainly haven't seen his medical reports or anything like that, but from what we're told, it's pretty bad. And, you know, certainly he's been limited, you know, for about a month now. So that's, you know, it should tell you what you need to know. You know, the other stuff you need to know is that this is Toledo and next week against Duke is a more important game. Obviously Miami hasn't played an ACC game yet. That'll be the first next week at Duke, next Friday at Duke, I should say. And then, you know, they go to Florida State. So they need Richard certainly healthy for Florida State, if not Duke, on the road there. So I'm not sure I would expect him to be in this game. If I was a betting person, I probably wouldn't bet money on it. But I'd say the odds are closer to 50-50 than, you know, than anything more than that. But, you know, if he gets in there for a couple series as a decoy, I don't think that'll be too bad if he's able to do that. Basically, what we do know is, as of Wednesday, which is the last time we spoke to Mark Richt, Richard said done some drill work against scout team defenders. This is before practice, so I don't know if he did anything during practice. But, you know, he's had some limited work and you know, nothing too strenuous. He hasn't been out there, you know, trying to go against Miami's top cornerbacks and things like that. He's just been kind of going through the motions. But it's better than what he was before, so he's closer to a return than not, certainly.
Yeah, Toledo's defense has looked pretty vulnerable. They gave up 51 points to Tulsa, even though that was a 54-51 victory. But do you expect this is going to be the type of game, because I know that defending the run could be an issue for them, where Miami is really going to pound Mark Walton and emphasize Mark Walton this week?
I would think Mark Walton and Travis Homer, definitely. I mean, that to me is the reason Miami's going to win this game, if nothing else. I mean, you know, obviously we talked about the front seven on defense, but you know, really where Miami has the biggest advantage besides that front seven is just the ability to put the ball on the ground and control clock and keep Logan Woodside off the field. I mean, you can see, you know, if we're talking about how this game is going to go, I could see, you know, Toledo getting in a few punches early. Maybe they put a couple touchdowns on the board. But, you know, Miami, when it has the ball, it's going to be able to eat clock. Mark Walton and Travis Homer looked really good against Bethune. And I think, you know, the way they were running, I think they can – you know, maybe not have quite the stats. I mean, they combined for 251 yards. You know, maybe it's a little bit less than that, but, you know, or maybe it's just as much against Toledo. You know, I think that they're going to be able to run the ball pretty much all day if they want to against this Toledo defense. You know, they gave up 548 total yards, 423 yards on the ground, and six touchdowns against Tulsa, which is just a ridiculous number. I think Miami's rushing attack is probably even better than that. So I would expect Miami to be able to slowly take the game into their own hands via the run.
And Matt Porter, this man does excellent work covering the Miami Hurricanes in college football for the Palm Beach Post. Any element of surprise, Matt, that even though Miami's only played one game, they haven't played in 3 weeks, they keep climbing in the rankings? It's like every week they don't play, they climb up a spot or two.
Yeah, no, maybe they'll make the playoffs that way at 1-0. You know, it's certainly it's interesting. I mean, you know, people are going to complain about the polls every week, no matter how they shake out, and this is obviously no different. You know, people wondering about Miami, why are they climbing up? I mean, it's just more teams falling around, and you know, people are looking at Miami and how they performed, and you know, saying that they're more maybe, you know, than a team that might have, you know, two losses or maybe one win and another kind of win where they didn't look as good, that kind of thing. And, you know, I think if Miami beats Toledo pretty handily this week, you know, maybe they'll jump a spot or two, but that's just the way it goes. I mean, there's always a big time correction in the poll in September. You know, you can really kind of complain if you know, if people are jumping up big time in October and, you know, early November, that's, you know, where you kind of see things start to take shape. But September is usually a little bit of a, you know, slipperiness in the polls.
Well, we all look forward to Miami-Toledo tomorrow, 3:30 p.m. at Hard Rock Stadium. You want to follow this man on Twitter, at Matty Ports. Check out his work in the Palm Beach Post. Matt, thank you so much, man. We'll see you at the game tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely, Alex. Looking forward to it, man.
It's Matt Porter from the Palm Beach Post. Some really good insight there on Logan Woodside and how, I mean, as you would expect for a quarterback who is very good and is a pro prospect but is in the MAC conference, that those numbers will dip down when he's facing the better competition. And Miami, on paper, should be the best competition defensively that he has ever faced. So maybe for those of you Canes fans who are worried, is anybody panicked? Because I don't think so. I don't think I've talked to one, and I talked to a lot of Canes fans. I have no life. I talked to a lot of Hurricanes fans. I don't think I've talked to a single Canes fan who's panicked about Toledo. You know what? I think I'm wrong on that. Our buddy Charles, Miami Rudy, he's panicked about a lot of things, though. He's a very neurotic guy, but he was panicked about Toledo because, like, he thinks D. Delaney, the Miami cornerback, is like this awful, terrible liability. D. Delaney has played one game in a Hurricanes uniform. I mean, slow your roll a little bit, right? One game, uninspired against Bethune-Cookman. I'm not to tell you that Dee Delaney is going to be like the next Philip Buchanan or something, but Dee Delaney, I try, and with only one game in the books, this is the guy who transferred from the Citadel. And guess what? He didn't play a lot of major competition at the Citadel either. But for Dee Delaney, I try to judge him more on the quality of fall camp that he had, right? The way he was really the talk and his coaches were praising him. Like, do you think that Manny Diaz doesn't know defense or can't evaluate talent? Because Manny Diaz was saying a lot of amazing things about Dee Delaney through fall camp. Could Manny Diaz be that wrong in thinking this guy can play football? Okay, so he had a lackluster game against Bethune-Cookman. Bethune-Cookman's not good. Maybe Dee Delaney was not motivated. Should be for every game, fine. But maybe knowing he's going up against a guy who led the country in passing last year and has been lighting teams up in three games this year, maybe Dee Delaney will put his big boy pants on this week. So I think Miami Rudy might be like the one Canes fan who's panicked about Toledo. I think I've talked to more Canes to more Dolphin fans who are panicked about the Jets, oddly enough, than I've talked to Canes fans panicked about Toledo. I think Canes fans are just anxious to see their team play again because it's been like 8 months since you've watched Miami football. Feels like that anyway. 3 weeks since the Canes played Bethune-Cookman. Feels like 8 months. New edition of Clickbait coming up. A Kardashian is with child. Plus, it is the 10th anniversary of one of the greatest rants in sports history. We revisit, and there's also another pooper on the loose. The Alex Dono Show continues here on WQAM.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
Don't talk about this article. Three-fourths of this is inaccurate.
What?
It's fiction. And this article embarrasses me to be involved with athletics tremendously. And that article had to have been written by a person that doesn't have a child and has never had a child that's had their heart broken and come home upset and had to deal with the child when he is upset and kick a person when he's down. Here's all that kid did. He goes to class. He's respectful to the media. He's respectful to the public. And he's a good kid. And he's not a professional athlete. And he doesn't deserve to be kicked when he's down. If you have a child someday, you'll understand how it feels. But you obviously don't have a child. I do. If your child goes down the street and somebody makes fun of him because he dropped a pass in a pickup game or says he's fat and he comes home crying to his mom, you'd understand. But you haven't had that. But someday you will. And when your child comes home, you'll understand. If you want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, you go after one that doesn't do the right things. You don't downgrade him because he does everything right and may not play as well on Saturday. And you let us make that decision. That's why I don't read the newspaper.
Whoa.
Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. Attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. And then you want to write articles about guys that don't do things right and downgrade them, the ones that do make plays. Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Yes.
I'm not a kid. Write something about me or our coaches. Don't write about a kid that does everything right, that's heart's broken, and then say that the coaches said he was scared.
Mike Gundy,
that
Oklahoma.
Ain't true.
That's so great. One of the great sports rants ever.
And then to say that we made that decision.
He's now 50. I'm a man. I'm 40. Love that. And Micah, and you know what? I think he was right in that case.
I remember reading that article back in the day. It was a column about quarterback Bobby Reed, who was benched in favor of another quarterback. Because you noticed that most college football columnists are very good about this. And this is not even like small town, big city stuff. Because I know you might say, oh, well, maybe in like small football towns, the columnists are too soft on the athletes. From a personal level, I think you need to be mindful of the fact that these guys are amateurs and these are college kids. It doesn't mean you can't examine stats, and it doesn't mean you can't point out this unit played poorly or this player played poorly. But once you start attacking players on a personal level, college kids, like, it's not right. And I know that all the columnists here, like the Matt Porters of the world, the Susan Miller Degnans, the Christy Chirinos, Peter Ariz, like the people we talk to on a regular basis that cover the Canes, are very good about that. They don't attack these kids personally for no good reason. Like if somebody breaks a law or something, then yeah, that's a different case. But they examine the play on the field. They don't make personal attacks, and that's not a good way to go about it. So kudos to Mike Gundy for that. Elsewhere on clickbait, people are making a huge deal about this. Kylie Jenner, 20, part of the Kardashian Jenner clan. She's with child, 20 years old. She is 3 months pregnant, she revealed to People today. And the father is, I will admit, this is somebody I had never heard of until 20 minutes ago. Is that bad that I've never heard of 25-year-old rapper Travis Scott? When I first saw this story, like, I asked Tito, like, oh, like, is that like a football player? Is it a basketball player? Like, who's this Travis Scott person? I had no idea who this guy is.
Relevant rapper.
So he is relevant then.
Yeah, he's dropped a lot of hot music recently.
I'm going to try to think of all of the current rappers that I can name. Kanye, he's still in the game, right? Kanye's still rapping?
Correct.
Is Jay-Z still in the game?
He dropped the new one like recently this summer, but it had been a while. But yeah, I'll give you that.
I'll take it. If he dropped one this summer, I'll take it. So Jay-Z's still in the game. Rick Ross, is he still in
Absolutely.
It? Snoop, is he still?
Not really.
I'm running out, man. I'm running on empty here. I'm just making people angry when I bring that up. Let me move on to this other story. So, okay, this is an update on an epidemic in this country. This is very, very unfortunate to see this happening all over the country, but there's another rogue pooper on the loose, another defecator. If you heard yesterday, I think we may have actually helped catch this woman. Like, we are like Crime Stoppers here on WQAM, but you have the mad pooper who's been on the loose in Colorado Springs, a woman who, while she jogs in the morning, will defecate on random front yards. Disgusting. That's why this person needs to be caught and put to justice. But there is now a poop man in Kentucky. The owners of a car wash business in Kentucky are asking for the public's help in identifying a man who turned two of their locations into his personal commodes. A sicko they have dubbed Poop Man. Sounds like a really bad superhero, or a really awesome superhero. The suspect is seen in two Facebook videos doing his business at separate soak and wet. I can't even read that without laughing. I'm such a child. What a great name for a car wash. Soak and wet car wash locations in Owensboro, Kentucky. Quote, does anybody know this guy? Co-owner Becky Whittinghill posted Tuesday on Facebook. Help me make this viral. Poop man strikes again. So I hope they catch the mad pooper in Colorado, and I sure hope they catch Poop Man in Kentucky. This is an epidemic. 56022 is how you reach us on the plumbers911.com text line. You can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. We will hear from Miami Dolphins head coach Adam Gase, also Pat Riley, later in the 8 o'clock hour. Let me say one thing about Pat Riley. He loves him some Dwayne Wade, and I think Pat Riley is recruiting Dwayne Wade in a way. That was my takeaway from The Godfather today. The Alex Dono Show continues until 10 o'clock here on WQAM.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.